money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready to talk money today.
Reb is ready to talk money today.
I'm so excited.
Maybe I should just let you do the intro and get through it really quick.
I know, we got a lot to talk
about. Today, our sponsor is notmine.ca. I'm going to talk really fast. No, just kidding. We'll slow it right down. Today is our sponsor, notmine.ca,
yes.
Financial discipleship. Of course, we're so thankful for your partnership. We're thankful that you're listening. Today is an exciting show. We have some special guests, and we're going to talk about something that has been on your heart, mind,
yeah,
on
has.
Our hearts and minds, something that we see in finances that we haven't had on the podcast before.
Ever before, no.
And we have some courageous guests that are going to come and share and talk about this. And I'm going to just shut up now, Reb, and you're going to introduce it.
Chike and Gucci Agbazi, you're back because we had you last week to tell your debt repayment story and how God has walked with you. And in the discussion of meeting you and hearing the debt repayment story, we started talking about something that we have seen in our office. I wanted to talk about publicly, and you said yes. So that is, how does culture and the expectation of family impact our financial journeys? I was born in Canada. You guys weren't. Were you born in Canada?
No.
Okay. So I had no encounter with a cultural narrative that said, you know, Canadian immigrant families living in Canada, not everybody, but some are sending money home, you know, regularly because there's a need in the family. And in my own story, historically, my mom was born in Ukraine/Russia, what they're fighting over now. She was born there. And as she grew up as an immigrant family, she went to work at 16. She didn't go on to any schooling after that because they couldn't afford it. And she needed to work and send money home to her dad and the rest of the family. She didn't become a nurse like she had wanted to. For all of those reasons, and there were no regrets for her, but it was just part of what you did. Mm-hmm. But her dad was in Canada. He was living in Northern Ontario, and his wife had died when my mom was six. So, like, it was a unique story, and she was just helping with the income. And here, fast forward into 2025, and we have families who are expected, for lack of a better word, to send money to family and help support them. And we're going to talk a bit about that today. So thank you for being here, both of you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Dave, why don't you just share the verse, and we're going to talk about the tension
right.
that this verse can create.
And this is really a big part of this conversation. So mm-hmm. we'll kind of start with, there is a tension. You're both shaking your heads yes saying there's a tension. Because when we look in scripture, right away, 1 Timothy 5 Paul talks to Timothy specifically about how to take care of the widows and the family and the orphan and what you should do. And of course, verse 8 jumps right out there saying, listen, if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in your story, Reb, with your mom, there was an element in that story that is very prevailing right now in our finances, and that is credit.
Mm-hmm.
So your mom couldn't send home more money than she made.
Right.
Because she didn't have access to the credit back then. Different story now. You come into Canada, you immigrate into Canada, and one of the things you will do is get a bank account. Mm-hmm. And one of the second things you will do is get a credit card. You'll get access to credit. And so we, of course, at More Than Enough, when we're looking at the finances, often we'll see this element of, you know, I didn't really understand from an when you've immigrated, I didn't understand the Canadian financial system. I came from maybe a country that was cash only. And so I get here and people are handing me cash and I'm like, great, you know, and don't realize the impact of it until it's much too late. But so all of that, we're kind of setting the story. There's this tension between, yes, we need to take care of our family. And then there's this tension, the other
which is
verse.
Which is the verse that you mentioned last week was, mm-hmm. you know, a borrower, a slave to the lender. Mm-hmm. And so you have these this balance. So could you just describe the cultural expectations of where you come from?
Yes, yeah.
You can start.
I can start. So we are both from African descent.
To be more specific,
West Africa and Nigeria. So for my family, we are both family of first. I am the first child, he's the first son. So the expectations are huge. Now, if we connect it back to the verse, especially 1 Timothy 5, especially verse 8, it's tied back in like, okay, the whole society in Nigeria, we abated majority on the Christian background. But now what happens, what that tension roots from is actually from Exodus, where he says, honor your father and your mother, right? Mm-hmm. So parents give birth to these kids and they feel like whatever I ask you, you have to provide because that's you honoring me. And then they quote 1 Timothy 5:8 and say, well, if you don't take care of your parents, you're worse than a Christian. If you find yourself a Christian, you should honor your mother and your father. Right. So that's where the tension arises. And then it's brought wrong into our heads that whatever our parents ask for, we have to give. And that was one of the problems, actually, believe it or not, that we had going into debt. Because like, oh, parents need this, and parents need that, and parents need this. Because we had little kids, so they're not asking for much. But you find that it's your parents that need this. And this happened, and that happened. And because you're the first, you're the first person they go to, and then they ask for this and that.
Yeah. So, and where are your parents? Are they still in Nigeria and West Africa?
My dad is in Nigeria. My mom is here. And then both our parents are actually here with us.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So I think the pressure is very real. I don't know if maybe for other listeners, maybe not, but for us, we can be honest, the pressure is extremely real. Yeah. And there, the pressure is really about what she's talked about honoring your mom and your dad. Like, we love our moms. We love our dads. We love our siblings, you know, because she has all her siblings are in Nigeria, right? So we have family back home.
Right.
And you feel like if you don't send money, you're doing like a disservice to your family. You don't love your family. You don't care about your family. You don't have any respect for your family. Yeah. You know, how can they be going through something and you just turn a blind eye and you don't send anything? Like, you're better off if you have to struggle yourself, if you have to put yourself in debt, if you have to make, you know, maybe not have no food in your house, whatever you need to do,
to send
that money is their expectation. And then on top of that, when you do that, you get accolades. You get, they celebrate you.
And they bless you.
They bless you. They celebrate you that you did that. That's a real child of God, right? But
So just to back up a minute. So the understanding of honoring your father and mother is actually to financially give money.
It's part of it. So, my brother is actually here. My parents, they come and go. My siblings, they come, they visit and they go. But the honoring part is like, it goes way back to like, back then there was a lot of poverty, right?
Yeah.
So what our parents used to do back then, a great, great grandparents, they used to have multiple kids in the hopes that at least one person would save, quote unquote, the family. So if it's not going to be the first, it might be the third, it might be the fifth. And that one person rising out of poverty will look back and be like, okay, I'm taking my family along with me. So that became the culture. And then a lot of parents are like, well, I suffered and I had you in my, that's how they will say, I carried you for 9 months and you cannot disrespect me.
So I say that jokingly to my own kids. What do you mean? I carried you for 9 months. You know, like when I'm old, you're going to be looking after me. I say that.
Yeah.
I don't put a lot of stock in it.
Oh yeah. There is a lot of stock in that.
It's a real thing.
And they feel like they went through all of this. Like, for example, his own side of the family, like, his mom did the bulk of the work, right? She worked like 3 jobs managing 4 kids. So you look back and out of love and pity for your mom that did that, you feel like whatever she needs, I'm going to give.
Right.
So it becomes an automatic ingrained thing, like whatever my parents want, I'm going to give. But then you end up sending yourself into debt. But the worst thing that we do is we're not honest with our family members. Mm-hmm. You may not have it, but you have to say it. I think that's where the confusion comes in. Because if you're honest, they would actually be a little bit more understanding. But we're not honest because we feel the pressure of, I actually have to provide, because if I don't provide, there's no other source. But when you think of it outside of yourself, the main source is actually God. God right. is the yeah. source. You're just God the channel. So you right. have to think of yourself as one channel from the source. Right. It doesn't always have to come from you.
So that's yeah. powerful. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just, you know, just kind of putting that into perspective to say, you know, in a sense, this is where trusting the Lord to say, you know what? He's not supplying through me because, mm-hmm. again, I'm not going to go into debt or I have to take care of whatever that is. But to say that the Lord will actually take care of you in a different way
because
and allowing the Lord to do that. I mean, that's powerful.
Yeah. Because Gucci, you, when we were talking about this previously, you said you have a different question now. You say, well, what are your other options? Was it yes. something like that
yes.
you've asked?
Yes, exactly. So when whatever, I'll just give an example. Oh, like, oh, my car got stolen. Oh, I need tuition. You have now, because of what we've gone through with More Than Enough, I always ask, okay, so what are the options? Yeah. What are the options? When is the deadline? That way I prepare myself. And then the first question I always ask is, what do you have? Because if you're expecting me to provide 100% of that, that's where I get myself in trouble. So I'm like, okay, what do you have? And how can I support that? That changes the thinker of the mindset of the asker, because like, okay, I'm supposed to do something for myself to get somewhere. Because if they keep expecting you to provide 100%, you're also making them slaves. Like, they're lazy. They're not even going to fend for themselves. They always have to come back to you. But when you ask the question of, okay, so how can I help you? What do you need from me? And what can I provide? What do you have? And how can we get there? Now it's a partnership. It's not just me giving to you and then putting myself in debt.
I love the biblical principle of that too, right? Yeah. I mean, you look at the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus says, well, right. what do you have?
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Five loaves and two right. fishes. You look at 1 Timothy and he talks about the widows and he says, you know, there's some widows that are in mm-hmm. their 60s. You know what? They need to be on the list and they need to be cared for. But if you're younger, you shouldn't be on that list because guess what? You may decide to remarry. You have time. Essentially, what do you have? You have time.
What did that look like in your finances before you started doing planning and all of that? What was that like for your family, for you both with that pressure?
Yeah, if to be completely honest, it was the one biggest thing that threw our finances off completely.
Yeah.
Let me just be straight with you. If you look at a budget, like we tried before More Than Enough, we tried. The budget wasn't great, but we tried to put something in paper. But the reality is as soon as those needs came up, and they always will come up, and that's another thing we're learning, the needs are always going to come up. So if you don't have a plan for when the needs come, you will never have a budget. So what ended up happening is we would say, okay, we're going to do this month. We're going to do this month. And then the need would come up and it would eat up the entire thing.
Right.
And then we'd go back to square one, but really we're not even at zero. We're now in minus.
Yeah.
And the reality is we started talking and having an honest conversation with ourselves first, because before we could have an honest conversation with our family members, we needed to have our honest conversation with ourselves.
Yeah.
And we started saying, look, if we really love our families, mm-hmm. if we really care about our families and we really want to help them, the helping them by putting ourselves in debt is not helping them mm-hmm. because this is going to run out. Eventually, we're going to be, if we're a source that God wants to use to bless them, eventually that source will completely run dry because we're not doing the things that we're supposed to do, mm-hmm. all according to scripture,
right.
that's going to cause us to be a real blessing to them. So we needed to say, let's sort ourselves out. Let's make sure mm-hmm. that we can not only just for today, but in the future, be a resource and a potential blessing for our families. And if we don't do that, then what happens is, to your question, every time it comes in, everything about our budget goes out the window. We send the money and we're in worse off positions. And then guess what happens the next time the need comes? We can't help. That one is worse.
Yeah.
I love how you say that taking care of it now helps for the future, because mm-hmm. if you keep going in the direction you are and just going in debt every month to help, eventually the source dries up. Like the well dries up and you don't have what you need. So what did you do to make a change? Like, okay, you had that conversation with yourself. You started seeing, oh man, this is causing some trouble in our finances. What was the next step?
We like you said, we had the honest conversation with ourselves. And then we also had to start to explore more options. Like, okay, like you said, I like what you said, Dave. If you're young, what can you do? And then if it came from my parents, yes, they're not young, but what exactly is the problem? It may not be money, because maybe they think money can solve the problem, but what exactly is the problem? Mm-hmm. So you actually have to find out what the problem is. Okay, is it rent or is it grocery? Okay, let's come up with a plan that's going to, what do you have in the house right now? Can that last 2 days while I figure myself out? That way they know, okay, mm-hmm. I can't just always ask and it's just give it, right? Because if I don't have, I can't give, like he's saying. So we always had to have a conversation. It's not always like an expected thing. Having a proper conversation, like you say, like even the Bible is like, okay, don't put the widows aside and all of that. Verse 8 actually says, he who cannot provide, but it didn't say provide financially. Mm-hmm. That's what people mistake it for. It's provide, is maybe provide knowledge, provide opportunity, provide experience, provide training even. So I started to look at my resources. Is there somebody I know who lives around them that can go check them? That's there somebody I know who can go do something for them in the meantime to keep them until so and so? So that way they begin to feel like, okay, I'm still provided for. I may not need to. And so, or sometimes like, oh, I want this kind of like that. I'm like, okay, what's the cheaper alternative?
What's the need? You mentioned that when we were talking previously about a phone, someone.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We had an experience where like, even that, it all just happened 2 days ago. Like my dad, he had his phone stolen and he sent me a message and he's like, what is the plan for you and my siblings for my phone? I'm like, you texted me with a phone. You literally just texted me with a phone to ask me what the plan is for your phone. So you have a phone. So I called him. I'm like, is the phone working? Are you able to make calls? Yes. And I can tell you till date, he's still using that phone 6 months later because the phone is working. He can make calls. He can go on the internet. He can go on Facebook, which he loves. He loves his WhatsApp. He can go on YouTube with the phone. So it is a working phone. You just want a better phone. Okay, we can get you a better phone when we get to that point where we feel like, okay, right. There is room to get you a better phone. But for now, the phone's working and he's been using it both in Nigeria and he's still using it here and it's absolutely working. He has a job and he's using his phone to work.
Wow. You know, the thing is, like, one of the things I just realized going through this whole process and is we don't actually think about the future enough when it comes to this. So we're so in the moment about, I have to send money now. And to what she's saying, we have to start seeing ourselves as people that God can use to actually change the trajectory of our families.
Yes.
Because that's what we started looking at. And I had to pull it up. It's Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. And honestly, if we were to think that more, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing, right? And so we started realizing, okay, well, if I can figure out how I can make sure that we can leave an inheritance, not for your children, your children's children, then that means I can't always be thinking backwards and I have to find a way to be thinking forward. And if I can be very candid, just very recently, you know, I lost my grandma. Right. And I think that if we keep doing this, if we keep going this way, this is exactly the situation that happens. Instead of us being a blessing to our children, we're going to now rely on our three kids to have to take care of us in our old age. And I think it's backward. I think we need to get to the point where we have our children be able to sustain themselves. We can sustain ourselves. We don't need them to pay for everything in our life, and especially in our older years for us. And because of the fact that we haven't changed that trajectory in our own family, I had phone calls to send money for my grandmother's burial.
Right.
Like it's gotten past our, it's not even our mom and dad now. Now we're going into our next generation. So now you're going to be spending money for your grandmother. And if we keep going this way, it'll be your grandmother's grandma. Like this is
how
the
far
wrong
does it go?
Way.
How far does it go back?
Backwards. So, you know, if we don't take the word for like actually read the word and apply it correctly, because we're all making it for the feeling, I want money, so I'm going to find something in the word that says you need to send me money. But really, it's about that. It's about looking to the future and saying, Lord, use our family to set a different tone for how these things are done, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
And what's really, I mean, to just pick up on that, if we go back to Abraham and we go, one, right?
Oh, yeah. Right.
God thinks that generationally. Mm. He's like, hey, you're going to have, you know, the stars in the sky. And he's like, and I died and I had one or two. You know what I mean? Like,
he didn't see it. Right? Yeah.
And we're not going to see that.
Yeah.
But right. Did he prepare for it? Did he have faith in it? Yes.
That's
did
right.
he look towards that? Yes. Did he set up essentially the next generations? Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. Right.
So. Yeah. But you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say he didn't really even go into main detail. So when he lost his grandma, we got a phone call from his auntie, his dad's sister, and says, oh, don't put the family to shame. And you're just like, how did we get here? Where is my auntie requesting and thinking it's my obligation to pay? And this was an expectation to pay for all of the funeral, like we're talking about tens of thousands.
It's like $8,000.
Yeah. And so we had to have a conversation with his dad, and he's like, this is what we can give freely and not worry about it. But the rest of that, we have to think about how to cut things out. And now we begin to realize, oh, this is actually going to be a problem. So we started talking to his dad and my parents about, this is what is going to happen in case of anything that happens. Please have these expectations in mind. But we had to draw the line of like, we're not saying we're not going to give, but we're only going to give what is within our capacity. And that's not going to put us in debt. Because after the funeral, you're still going to have to want to eat. And guess what happened? Right after the funeral, his dad sent him a message. I need money. And we're like, okay. So imagine if we sent you $10,000, what was going to happen after that?
He wouldn't have money. Yeah. You wouldn't have money to
send. And I know we're running out of time, but I just have to say that this is... We really love our family.
Of course.
Even though we are saying that we're having these conversations to say, sometimes we do have to say no. We just have to say no. In this situation, at this time, we are unable to assist you. However, we are able to assist in these following ways. So we do give them, like, here's how we can help. But when it comes to financial for this particular situation, we're just not able
to. Or this time.
Yeah. And honestly, what we find is if we make the right call, because we know scripturally enough, it's the right call. You will find that there will be another way.
Yeah.
God will always make a way. And sometimes we pray. It's like we all forgot prayer. We think money is the only solution.
I know.
Like, so we pray for them and we say, oh, Father, Lord, you know our finances. You know we don't have this in our pocket. We know we can't send this one. But Lord, I pray that you help them, that you support them in this time, that you find somebody, bring them somebody to be able to support them. So we also use prayer to try to help with the situation.
That's amazing.
As well.
So just on a practical note, so now do you have like a line item that's family?
Yes.
And then you designate how much money in your monthly rhythm?
Yes. And we have, I think it's very common over family, but even the African family, we have like a generational WhatsApp group. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, by the time we do our budget, I ask, okay, what's the plan for the month? So that we can work that in. So we're not surprised. And then if I say no, you get upset. So we always ask, okay, what is the deadline for this? You said you're working on this project. What is it looking like? And what do you need to get there?
So they're putting their requests in the WhatsApp group.
Oh, yeah.
And is it just to you or is it to your siblings as well?
Oh, it's every direction.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, so every
like
direction.
Funeral, for instance, like it was all my siblings. So we were, the expectation was that we, because we're over here, we're going to be the ones to send all the money that's required.
So what happened? Is your grandmother buried?
Oh, yeah. She is. She is now. And so it was, it turned out everyone sent $500. So it was $2,000 from both all my siblings that was sent back home for the funeral. But the funeral cost was $8,000.
Oh, right? Man.
Well, she's been married now.
so she's married.
God bless her.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a practical detail for any listener who is walking this journey. And I would say if anyone wanted to talk to you, I didn't ask beforehand, but please reach out to More Than Enough and we could get you in touch if you needed to encourage someone on this journey. Because I remember one story that I heard from a client. She got a phone call at 3 a.m. from whatever African country she was in, from, and it was a person she didn't know, but her family had given this man her name and said, could you send money to repair my vehicle? And I was just like, that was the shocker story that I'll never forget, which is why I wanted to talk about it. So basically, bottom line is you're saying put it in the plan and have conversations with your family and also ask questions. What else?
Yes.
What else? What do you have in your hand? What are the 5 loaves and 2 fish?
I just love that, you know, again, coming back to that. So, you know, in a sense, recognizing the expectation and the tension that's mm-hmm. there, but also going, you know what? Let's not forget the Lord. Let's mm-hmm. include this in yeah. our prayer. Let's pray together right now mm-hmm. and listen. And that idea that comes into your head, yeah, let's talk about that idea. Yeah. Like yes. that practical piece yeah. to actually in those conversations, be ready for the Lord to, yeah. to really speak clearly of, oh, you know what? Here's, and we've done this. I think we've all done this before yeah. where it's like, Lord, I'm praying. Have you got, you know, what, how much should we give? I've got a number, Reb, you've got a number. No. Oh, look, it's the same number, or sometimes
because
not.
You Reb's can still six. Have that line item in your budget, but you don't have to drain it every month either.
Right. Exactly. But we are also pleasers, right? We yeah. want to please people. And the yeah. word tells us not to please man, but to please God.
Oh, yeah.
And
so, I yeah. know that's yeah. so hard, but you come in, but then there's two of you coming to agreement on it.
Oh, yeah. We usually use each other against the other. So, yeah. My lingo right now is I have to go to court. So whenever I actually ask it, I'm like, yeah, I have to present yeah. my case in court. And if it passes, yeah. But if it doesn't pass, I just told you I have to go to court. So
so they yeah. know well, that you're actually going to talk about yeah. it as a couple and yeah. get come back.
Well,
with
they
the
try to split you too. So yeah. you have to be careful. Like if you yeah. want to be very candid, they'll tell aww. Just me to send. And yeah. not to tell her.
Or they or send, they tell us two yeah. at two different times
yeah.
and pretend like they haven't told each other. So I just say, I have to go to court.
Nice. Yeah. And you just know your automatic is like, I'm going to talk this over. Yeah. yeah. Right. Wow.
So again, oh. communication between the two of you, yes. having a plan, giving faith so that the Lord can actually do something beyond what you can see with your yeah. own desire.
But also the big understanding I think I want to leave listeners with is yeah. that idea that it doesn't saying no or setting boundaries or asking questions doesn't mean you don't love.
Yes.
It doesn't right. mean that you're not caring for your family. There are other ways. And I love that question. The question, you know, we actually ask that a lot in coaching. What else?
Yeah.
What else? What are the other options? What other talents, expertise, resources do you have in this moment that could solve the problem? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing.
Well, let's pray, Lord. We do thank you that you are so practical. We thank you that we can look to you in all of these, and we look in your word, we listen for your voice, Lord, really, we expect in these practical ways that we'll see you play out. Lord, I thank you for your grace to us when we run ahead and make those decisions and do these things, and you still are gracious in providing and caring for us and our families. So we thank you for that in Christ's name.
Amen.
Oh, man, thank you so much for being here these two shows and these 2 weeks. It's been lovely to talk with you about your journey.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for having us.
Good. And thank you for listening. Thank you to
Not Mine.
Thank you, NotMine.ca and Financial Discipleship Canada. And join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.